Have you ever said, I was driving 80 miles an hour the whole way. It's a miracle I didn't get caught. It's okay. I'm not the highway patrol. Or if you've ever driven around the mall at Christmas time and found a parking space in the same zip code as the entrance and shouted, it's a Christmas miracle. Let me tell you about a real Christmas miracle. A baby boy born of a virgin. Now that's a Christmas miracle. And that's a miracle. When someone who's never seen before can see now, that's a miracle. When someone who was diagnosed with incurable cancer is cured of cancer, that's a miracle. Miracles can't be explained by scientific laws, but miracles are more than just a suspension of scientific and natural law. They're actually a glimpse back to what we were and a glimpse forward to what we will be. It's a glimpse back before sin and disease when we were whole, but sin spiraled us into sickness and death. But there is coming a day when we will be whole again, and what a day that will be. A miracle is a simple reminder that disease and death do not have the last word. God does. Good day, Simplify friends. You are listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to Tough Questions on Simplify. Miracles fill up the Bible, especially the New Testament. Now, we've already asked and answered a tough question in an early episode. Can we trust the Bible? And we answered, yes, we can trust the Bible. The miracles in the Gospels were not written hundreds of years after they happened. They were written in the writers' lifetimes. You could interview witnesses who were there. They could tell you if Jesus really fed a city with a bag lunch. No food truck, no portable kitchen, no Chick-fil-A. But all of a sudden, fish and chips for everyone. Of all the miracles Jesus worked, the linchpin was the resurrection. He raised Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and a widow's son from the dead. That was miraculous. But when he came out of his own grave by himself, that was the miracle of all miracles. That's why we also asked and answered the question, is the resurrection really real? And we saw from overwhelming evidence that the empty tomb, it's still empty. So since Jesus was able to work the miracle of the resurrection, it should be no surprise he was able to work 37 other miracles in the Gospels alone. And God only knows how many more. Literally, God only knows how many more. John 20 gives us the principal reason Jesus worked miracles. So we will believe he is the Christ, and that believing, we will have life through his name. Jesus didn't just work miracles to show off his power or give us a more cushy life. He worked miracles so we would believe he is who he says he is. The 37 miracles in the Gospels share common ingredients. There must be a need. How many of you want to see God work a healing miracle in our day? I do. Who wants to be the one he works the miracle for? If it's going to take a miracle to heal you, you must have an incurable disease. Who wants to sign up for that role? We love the testimonies where checks come in the mail just before the water company shuts off the water, but who wants to be the one waiting for the water company? For there to be a miracle, there needs to be a need. And there needs to be faith. Faith is not always believing God will do what we want. It's believing God will always do what is right. We find faith all through the Gospels. People ran to Jesus in faith and he healed them. One lady crawled to him in faith and he healed her. Entire cities followed him in faith, and he healed them. Those miracles defy scientific and natural laws, but they do not defy faith. They define faith. Faith that God can do what nobody else can do. That's the third ingredient, the power of God. Without his power, we're powerless. No matter how great our need or how great our faith is not in a prayer or a prayer cloth. Our faith is in the power of God. So what about medicine? Is taking medicine a lack of faith? Can God work a miracle with medicine just like he can without it? I would suggest it's still a work of God when we are healed through medical means because he's the one to give us the herbs or chemicals or plants or even fungus for penicillin. And he's the one to give us the curiosity to research medicine. Sometimes medicine is the way God works. Just ask Hezekiah. He's one of the good kings of Judah. And for the most part, he was a good guy. But God spoke to Isaiah to tell him he was about to be transferred to the 7th floor of a 6th-floor hospital. He was going to die. And not exactly the get-well card you're looking for from the preacher. I'd rather get balloons and a 10-pack of Timbits. Hezekiah had some words for God, and God spoke to Isaiah as he was on his way home. God told him to go back and tell Hezekiah. God heard his prayer and saw his humility, and is going to gift him 15 more years. Now that's the get-well card you're looking for. But 2 Kings chapter 20 reads, "Then Isaiah said, 'Make an ointment from figs.' So Hezekiah's servant spread the ointment over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered." Interesting, isn't it? God could have healed Hezekiah with a whisper, but he didn't. Isaiah told the servants to make medicine from figs, put it on the boil, and Hezekiah would be healed. But not like we would have thought. God used medicine to face down a fatal disease. So how does God feel about medicine? Is using medicine a lack of faith? Proverbs 17 tells us a merry heart does good like a medicine. That verse teaches us a merry heart does good, and so does medicine. Jesus had a favorable view of medicine in Jesus' own story about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan didn't just pray. He also poured oil and wine into the wounded man's wounds to help him heal. One of Jesus' most faithful followers was Luke, the physician. Using medicine is not a lack of faith. I believe it's still the work of God to heal because he is the one to give us the medicine and the knowledge for how it works. But this story tells the story. King Asa, another one of the kings, tells us how the blessing of medicine can become a curse. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. Asa and Hezekiah could have had the same testimony. "I was a dying, but I called out to the Lord and he healed me." Apparently those were southern kings. But God didn't answer Asa's prayer because Asa didn't pray a prayer. Here's how I pray when someone is going in for surgery. God, you're able to heal them where they won't have to have surgery. And I've seen God do it. They've come for prayer because of a disease, but when they went back to the doctor for surgery, the doctor couldn't find anything wrong. That's a miracle. But if God doesn't heal in that way, I continue to pray. Please keep them and give them peace and give the medical staff understanding to know what to do and the courage to do it. And let everyone there know you are there and you are working in Jesus' name. That's the way I pray. Now, whether God works through miraculous means to heal us or he uses medicine and a medical staff, to God be the glory. Let's answer another tough question within this tough question. What about when God doesn't work a miracle? What then? If miracles are really real and God can always work a miracle, why doesn't he always work a miracle? Well, maybe it's a lack of faith. Jesus was in his hometown and everybody there knew him as the carpenter's son. Oh, that's Joseph's boy. He delivers the Nazareth news on Friday mornings. People who knew him best knew him least, and their lack of faith that he could do what he said he could do robbed them of a miracle. And there's always good old-fashioned sin. 1 Peter 3:7 teaches us that the way we treat people can hinder our prayers. We can pray until our face turns phthalo blue, but if we harbor sin in our hearts, especially in how we treat others, our prayers won't be answered. And there's timing. God is impeccably punctual, never early, never late. One Sunday night, we just heard a powerful message brimful of testimonies of miracles God had recently worked. And we had a few guests there that night. I just knew God was going to heal our friend Ryan. Ryan was born with cerebral palsy that sentenced him to life in a wheelchair. And I looked up to see Don Ryan praying for Ryan, and I just knew Ryan was going to get out of that wheelchair and walk. Brother Ryan was so full of faith, he told Ryan, "When God heals you, I want to take a lap around the church in your wheelchair." I told Brother Ryan, "I'm right behind you." But for reasons known only to God, he did not heal Ryan that Sunday night. If I were God, what a testimony. Have you ever played that game, if I were God? Be thankful. We're thankful. You're not God. I thought about the revival that would ignite with just one match from that one miracle. But the Lord reminded me of the tricky thing about miracles. Miracles may be a way to spark revival, but only hunger keeps it going. Jesus fed nearly 20,000 with fish and chips, and when he was done, they followed him all the way across the sea to the other shore. That's revival. But when he started teaching discipleship and sacrifice, 99.9% of them walked away. A miracle could spark a revival, but only hunger for God will keep revival going. Go ahead. Pray for miracles, pray for signs, pray for wonders, but most of all, pray for people to be hungry for God. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Think about that. A holy God filling unholy people with his Holy Spirit to give them power to be holy like he is holy. That's a miracle. One last thing to think about, and maybe it should have been the first thing to think about. God is sovereign. That means God does what he wants, not always what we want. If there is ever a tug of war between his ways and our ways, pray that his ways win, because his ways and his wisdom are so much higher than our own. Are miracles really real? Yes. And God still works them in our day, and only God knows when it's best to work them. It's not up for us to know. It is up for us to trust. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for every miracle you have ever worked. Thank you for every wonder you've ever worked in our lives. Thank you for every time you've ever healed, every time you've ever filled any empty and hungry heart with your Spirit, every sin you've ever forgiven, every disease you've ever vanquished. Thank you, Jesus, for every miracle you've ever worked. Give us the faith to believe you not only want to, but will work miracles, and give us the trust to know you will do them best when it is best. I ask you today, God, help us to trust you and to follow you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Simplify. I hope this episode has blessed you, and I hope it's bolstered your faith. I hope it's given you faith to continue to pray for God's will to be done in situations and lives where there is sickness or there is disease or there is job loss or financial difficulties. I pray you continue to pray for God to work miracles and then leave them in his hands and trust him to do what's best. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'm so glad and honored that you would take your time and you would make Simplify a part of your discipleship and your relationship with God. Please share it with somebody else. Share it with somebody across the room or share it with somebody across the world. Let them know about Simplify. Tell them they can listen to it on their favorite podcast platforms. If you would like to purchase a copy of the devotional Simplify that birthed this podcast, you can purchase Simplify at PentecostalPublishing.com. It's available in print and it's available on Kindle. Next week is our last week of answering tough questions to ask about God. And our last question, why has so much evil been done in the name of Christianity? I'm going to do my best to answer that question next week. So I look forward to that. And always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.